Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
We're going to read from John chapter 10, verse 11, and this is what the Bible says. He starts out by saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again, praise God. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. That's powerful stuff right there. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Today, I want to talk for a few moments from this simple thought, the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And I believe you're going to be encouraged today as we once again are discovering not just what Jesus has done, but who Jesus is, who Jesus is. He says, I am the good shepherd. What does that mean for you and I? Why does he say it? Let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to anoint these words. Lord, we thank you so much that you brought us here. We thank you that today, God, we sense that you're moving. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, Lord. That God, you brought us all together for such a time as this. I pray now, Lord, with the few moments that we have, Lord, that you would speak loudly and clearly to all of us. We've all walked in one way, but God, we want to leave different, changed, and transformed. We honor you, we praise you, and if you believe it, come on, 11 a.m. All of God's people said? Amen. All of God's people said? Amen. Come on, 11 a.m. It's ultra weekend. Why don't you go ahead and give ultra praise to God in this place? Somebody give him a shout. Ultra praise to God. Cheesy joke. We're in John chapter 10 today. And if you were with us last week, we are kind of continuing in John chapter 10 because in John 10, Jesus makes two statements about himself. He begins in the chapter by saying, I am the door. And last Sunday, Nick Del Vento brought the message on I am the door. Can we give it up for Nick Del Vento? What a great word that was. Amazing. Message. And I love the truth about the fact that Jesus is the door. Because of Jesus, we have access to God. Because of Jesus, we have access to his presence. Isn't that good news today? See, sometimes we get into our minds, we think that we have to come to church to experience God. We think we have to get to small group to experience God. No, that's not true. You have a door. His name is Jesus. You can access the presence of God in your car. You can access the presence of God in your cubicle at work. You can access the presence of God in your shower, praise God. Wherever you are, whenever you want, you have a door. His name is Jesus. Come on, anybody thankful for a door named Jesus? You have access to the presence of God. But as you read in John chapter 10, and they covered this last week, we have this door named Jesus, but then there's this other character that's introduced. The Bible says that there is a thief coming, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. Now listen to me. Just because you have a door doesn't stop the thief from coming. Jesus is loud and clear that there is an enemy out to get you. This enemy has a threefold mission: to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy any bit of your legacy. And we ought to live our lives prepared that the thief is coming. When you understand the thief is coming, how many know you start to live a little bit differently? I don't really have time to be angry with you because there's a thief coming. I don't have time to walk around with unforgiveness because there is a thief coming. I can't live my life bitter. There's a thief coming. I can't play games with my faith. There's a thief coming. Of course I could have slept in. Of course I could have gone to brunch today. Of course I didn't have to be at church. But there's a thief coming. I wanted to come in to the house of God and get prepared. I didn't have to worship at the beginning of this service, but I know there's a thief coming for me on Monday. So I lifted my hands in the house of God, and I started to prepare myself because there's a thief coming. I wish I could get somebody to respond a little bit in the 11 a.m. There is a thief coming for your soul. And just because I have a door doesn't stop the thief from coming. Yet before you get clouded with bad news and before you get overwhelmed saying, why would God put me on this earth and why would he allow bad things to come my way and why would he allow the thief to come and tempt me, the thief to come and hurt me, understand there's some good news. You don't have to go through it alone. Because there is a thief coming, but come on now, there's also a shepherd coming. Come on, there's a shepherd. His name is Jesus. And he doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He walks with you. And this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying there's a shepherd on the way. Not just any shepherd, a good shepherd. Not just a shepherd. Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. And the way that he's going to differentiate between an ordinary shepherd and a good shepherd is he uses this analogy right at the beginning of John chapter 10. We read this. He said, I am the good shepherd. I'm not a hired hand. I own the sheep. Now, come on. This is very easy for us to understand this truth. How many of you know that when you rent something, you treat it differently from the thing that you own? You ever rented a car before? Why do you drive that thing like you're a NASCAR driver? It's because you don't own it. You've just hired it. Jesus wants you to know, I'm not just hiring these sheep. No, no, no. I've created these sheep. I own these sheep. I know every one of these sheep's name. Trust me. I care about you. I'm a good shepherd. I have a plan. Plan to prosper you. A plan to give you a hope and a future. You can trust me. I'm a good shepherd. I own the sheep. The fact that we have a good shepherd should bring some comfort to our hearts today. Because it is true. There is a thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy you. The thief is coming, not a question of if, it's a question of when. It's going to happen, he comes, he messes with us. But we have to remind ourselves in those moments that we also have a good shepherd who walks with us. Maybe you're saying to yourself today, what's the benefit of having a good shepherd? I want to give you three areas that I believe the good shepherd benefits our life. Three areas where Jesus provides benefits to your life. Number one, the first area that the good shepherd helps us is that he provides direction. Everyone say direction. Direction. You know, the shepherd leads and guides the sheep, tells the sheep when to go, tells the sheep when to sleep, tells the sheep when to eat. The sheep follow the shepherd. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're going, okay, Rich, I don't really understand. Why do the sheep need direction? Well, how many of you know that in this story, as Jesus is laying out this beautiful metaphor, the thief would be the devil, the enemy, sin, death. The shepherd, that would be Jesus. The sheep, who do the sheep represent? Praise God. Us. Now, I wish that was encouraging, but it's actually not very encouraging. And the reason why is because sheep might be the dumbest animals on the planet. It's going to get more encouraging, trust me. Sheep are stupid. Praise God for it. I mean, stupid. They have awful, awful eyesight. They're stubborn animals. Not only are they dumb, they're stubborn. Isn't that fun right there, right? It's one thing if you're dumb, at least you can just go with the flow. Not sheep, no. Dumb and stubborn. For instance, this is a fact. If you put sheep on a pasture with a bunch of grass, the sheep will eat all of the grass in that pasture. They won't stop eating until it's all gone. After they've eaten all of the grass, there's nothing else to eat, then they'll just start to eat each other's excrement until they die. Yeah, that's what sheep do. God says, you and I, we're a bunch of sheep. Praise God for it. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Pretty encouraging. See, you and I, like sheep, we need a shepherd to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. We need to follow the shepherd because like sheep, you and I, we indulge our flesh. You and I, we'll eat till we drop. You and I, we'll take a good thing and we'll just completely wear it out and we'll kill ourselves from the inside out. This is what sin does. We obey our flesh instead of listening to the Spirit. I love reading John chapter 10, which is what we're studying today. And I love cross-referencing it with the most famous psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. Look at what David writes in Psalm 23. He says this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack Nothing. You should underline that in your Bible. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now, this is powerful stuff right here. Notice that David is declaring that the Lord, Jesus, is his shepherd. That's a powerful truth. But look what it means for David in his own life. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or another translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Man, this is a powerful truth that some of you today, you need to make this the proclamation of your life. I lack nothing. I have everything that I need to fulfill what God has called me to do. See, when you know who your shepherd is, that you're following the shepherd, you understand, I have everything that I need. I lack nothing. See, understand this revelation today. I didn't bring myself to this place. I didn't call myself to pastor this church. I didn't put a microphone in my hand. It was Jesus, the shepherd, who led me to this place. The word of God declares the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. If my steps are ordered because I'm following the shepherd, there's no pressure on me to perform. The pressure is on God. Some of you need to relieve yourself, relax today, that all you have to do is follow. You don't have to lead. You don't have to work in your own effort. You don't have to strive. You just have to follow and take the direction of the shepherd. All you have to do is draft off the shepherd. You say, what do you mean draft? When I was in college, I picked up this hobby called road biking, cycling. This was the time when like Lance Armstrong was really famous. And praise God for Lance. And he was winning all these Tour de France, so everyone was getting really, you know, excited about, they all wanted to be, I wanted to be a cyclist, and so I got spandex, and shut up. And I started practicing, and I was riding all the time, and I learned quickly this principle in cycling, that when you're riding with a group, somebody leads the pack, they're called the leader. And then everybody else in the group, there's this term, it's called drafting. And what drafting means is it means the leader of the group is breaking all of the wind. And it's making it easier for everyone behind him to ride. Leading is what's difficult. Following, they say that when you're drafting off the leader, that you're using 50% less effort when you're drafting. See, I want you to hear something today. You're drafting off of Jesus. Jesus has put the effort forward. Jesus is leading. You just get behind Jesus and you follow him. He is the good shepherd. Yet here's what I know about God, is that God does not lead those who want to direct their own lives. If you want God to lead you, you have to submit your will over to his will. You have to recognize, I'm a sheep and I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. When you actually submit your will over to the shepherd, then like David, you can declare, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What a powerful truth for some of you to gain hold of today. You lack nothing. Everything you need, you've already got it. If Jesus is leading you, you have what you need. He will lead you to your destiny. Hear me. Never, ever, ever let your conditions change your state of mind. Don't let your conditions alter your state of mind. Let me try to explain it this way. Here's a good way of explaining it. In my life, I'm turning 33 this week, praise God. Hello, come on. My ministry shall begin. Bible jokes. Someone's fixing to crucify me. Bad joke. In 33 years of living, there have been some moments where I have been broke. Broke. You know what I'm talking about? Broke is a joke. Broke. Like, you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe some of you. I've been broke before. Come on, you know, overdraft the account, nothing there, broke. Okay, a couple people, praise God, a few of you, thank you. Poor, okay, broke. There's been some moments that I have been broke, but listen to me, there has never been a moment in my life that I have been poor. You say, what do you mean? Broke is a condition, poor is a state of mind. See, somebody who's poor, you could put $1 million in their hand, and just give them a couple of months, they're gonna run through that money because the state of mind is that they lack something. Yeah. Somebody who's broke is just going through a condition. It's a circumstance, but their state of mind says, wait a minute, I'm being led by the shepherd, and it's only a matter of time with his effort, with his work, that I'm going to get to where I need to be. I'm just drafting off of him. I'm going to keep my mind on Christ, and I'm going to realize I have everything I need in Jesus. Listen, I have been down before, but I have never been defeated. I have played hurt many times, but I have never been counted out. I have been in pain, I've been crawling, but I have, by God's grace, always kept moving forward. I know who I am. I know who my shepherd is. I lack nothing. Come on, somebody. If you know you got everything you need, you got a shepherd. I lack nothing in Jesus. I remember when we first started this church, about a year before we announced we were planning this church, in my Bible, I could show it to you. I wrote down this phrase. It's a phrase that has served me well. You should write it down today. I wrote this down. Nobody owes me anything. Jesus gave me everything. And this is one of these mantras that I wake up every day of my life and I declare it over myself. Nobody owes me anything. Jesus gave me everything. Nobody owes me anything. Jesus gave me everything. I'm not going to be held back because of somebody else. Nobody else is the reason why I'm not moving forward. Nobody owes me anything. Jesus has given me everything. I lack nothing. How can you say it? It's because I have a shepherd and his name is Jesus. And the good shepherd, he leads me out to green pastures. The good shepherd, he brings me beside streams of living water. The good shepherd, he replenishes my soul. You see, what's happening on the inside is more important than what's happening on the outside. I don't have to doubt. I don't have to fear. I don't have to fret. I have a God who's directing me and leading me. Come on. If you believe today, somebody give God a shout of praise. You have a shepherd who's directing you. The good shepherd doesn't just direct you. The second thing the good shepherd does is that he brings correction to your life. He brings correction to your life. That's a word that many people don't like very much, this idea of correction. Now, I love in Luke chapter 15, Jesus is telling some stories. He's telling a parable, and he starts out by talking about 100 sheep, and one of those sheep gets away. You see, we like sheep, we have a tendency to wander. Even though there's a good shepherd who leads us and guides us and takes care of us, we still have this stubbornness that we wander. We're sheep. We're not very smart. We wander. And the Bible says that the shepherd, he leaves 99 to go after the one. This is good news, that you serve a God that when you wander off, praise God, when you doubt, when you walk away, we serve a God who goes chasing after you. Yeah. Like that in itself is a reason to come back to church next week. What kind of a radical God? He goes and he runs after you, leaves the 99, and he goes, I'm gonna go find you at Ultra. I'm gonna find you out in the crowd. I'm gonna find you. Make no mistake about it. God brought you here. He's hunting you down. He goes and he finds the sheep. The Bible says that he gets the sheep, brings the sheep back, and then they throw a party because they're celebrating the fact that which was lost is now found. You ever lost something? My wife and I, about 3 weeks ago, we were in Washington State. That's where I grew up. And we were in the city of Tacoma. That's where I was born. And we were there having some meetings. But I had the afternoon off, so we went and hung out with my grandmother. My grandmother is now 92 years of age. Come on now. Yeah, we can clap for her. Come on, Overflow. We can clap for her. And we had the best day. We were just hanging out. We went to lunch, my wife, Dawn Shree, and I, and my I call her Nana. And we decided to go over to this place called Owens Beach. It was this beach that I grew up on. With my grandfather, and we would go out there and walk the beach and have the best time. And at the bottom of the beach is obviously the ocean, but behind the beach are these big cliffs and these big trails that you can go and hike through and see these wonderful, wonderful trees and this awesome forest. But in order to get up into the trails, it's kind of this steep, kind of 10-foot incline that you have to kind of climb up. And so, you know, I was back home for where I grew up, and for me, that's fun because you get all these nostalgic feelings. And so I'm like, Dawn Shree, that's where, you know, I used to play soccer, and, you know, that's where, you know, all these memories that it doesn't really matter to her, but I was in it. And so we're down on the beach. I was like, Dawn Shree, I want to show you where we used to play, like in the woods. And so I said, you know, my grandmother, she's 92 and she's very healthy, but I didn't feel like she could climb the 10-foot steep incline. So I said, Nana, are you okay right here? She said, yeah. I go, now just wait here. We're gonna be gone for 5 minutes. You wait right here. She said, absolutely. So Don Shu and I, we went up into the trees and we had a moment, you know, making out and stuff. And so she can't keep her hands off me. I don't know. And so we finished French kissing and we come down. Who says the word French kissing? I like it. Okay. We come down and my grandmother's gone. And like, you know, like at first you play it cool, like, Nana. And you want to play it cool, like, what, Nana, you know, me and Don Shu are like, you see, where, yeah, where? We're like, I don't know where she went. And so Don Shu and I, we kind of keep separating just a little bit more. I'm like, you kind of go that way, you know, like, Nana. And now 3 minutes pass, and before you know it, it's like your heart starts to race. You're like starting to panic, like, oh my God, we lost Nana, you know? I'm like, Don Shree, you go that way. Now we have a full manhunt going. I'm screaming, like, Don Shree, do you see her? She's like, no, she's not this way. I'm like grabbing people, like, did you kidnap my grandmother? You know? I can just imagine the phone call, like, to my parents, like, yeah, we lost Nana at the beach. Like, we're freaking out. We're in panic mode. And Don Shree, we probably lost her for 10 minutes. We cannot find my grandmother anywhere. Like, we lost Nana. This is awful. And so I go, let's go to the car. We got to go find her. So we start walking back to the car. Would you believe that when we got to the car, there Nana was? And like, you know, how do you correct Nana? Come here, young lady. Come here. Young lady, come here. Where have you been? We have been worried about you. Get in the car. We're at, you know, am I going to correct her now? No, we didn't correct her. We celebrated the fact that she was found. Listen to me. God is so much more excited, not about punishing you, but about celebrating you because you have been found. He wants to find you. When he finds you, he celebrates. He's excited that you're home. The shepherd goes and seeks out the wandering sheep. Jesus is not just saying, this is what I do. This is who I am. I can't help myself. If you go running, I'm coming after you. Jesus says, if you say, Jesus, I'm leaving you, he says, cool, I'm coming with you. Wherever you go, I'm coming with you. Look at what David says in Psalm 23. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This sounds like a dude who got off the path. And God said, well, hey, you off the path, but I'm still going with you. I'm chasing after you. I'm going to come find you. Listen to me. The Bible says that you go through the valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen to me. You don't stop in the valley. You don't hang out in the valley. You don't get married in the valley. You don't build a business in the valley. You walk through the valley. You keep moving through the valley. If you're going through hell, don't stop moving. Keep moving forward. You're going to come through. You got a shepherd who's walking with you. Trying to encourage someone today that you're going through the darkest hour of your life. I would say keep moving. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. Just keep moving. Look at what David says. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't that amazing? Your rod and your staff. When a shepherd had his sheep, he had two things in his hand. In one hand, he had a rod. I'm going to talk about it in a moment. That was for protecting the sheep. But in the other hand, he carried this thing called a staff. And the staff had a curved end. And the curved end was so that if a sheep started to wander, the shepherd could hook the sheep around the neck and bring him back. Now, don't get me wrong, the hook around the neck for a moment would cause a little bit of pain to that sheep. But that sheep was brought back in close to the shepherd. Look at what he says. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, godly correction doesn't hurt you. It comforts you. It comforts you. And when you understand that the shepherd loves you, and the shepherd is for you, and the shepherd doesn't want you to wander so you don't get lost and so that you don't miss out on your destiny, you start to realize, man, his correction is coming from the right place. Listen to me. Correction is only unwanted when you love your mistake. People who don't like correction are people that love their mistake more. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep eating. I'm going to keep getting what I want. Isn't it amazing? The thing that you're going after, you think it's going to fulfill your heart, but it breaks God's heart. How can that which breaks God's heart ever fulfill your heart? Correction is only unwanted when you love your mistake. What's amazing about a shepherd is that if a sheep wanders off too many times, the shepherd will come, find the sheep, and they will break the sheep's legs and then carry the sheep home so that after his legs mend, they tell us that a sheep will never, ever wander from the shepherd again. Did you ever see that picture when you were growing up in Sunday school? I brought one of these pictures. You ever see this picture? It's like, oh, it's so cute. Oh, Jesus. Oh, he takes care of the lamb. No, he just broke that lamb's legs. That lamb can't walk. That's why he's on his shoulders. Hear me. I don't want my legs broken. But friend, I'd rather have broken legs than lose my soul. I'd rather lose my legs instead of lose my life. And I understand that the shepherd, he corrects me so I don't wander. The shepherd corrects me so I get into my destiny. Listen to me. You don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You should write this down today. Because some of you are like, I'm going to obey once I fully understand God's perfect plan. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to recognize that I am a sheep and he is a shepherd, that I am stubborn, that I eat everything around me, that I can't hardly see. You have to follow him. And when you make him your shepherd, you lack nothing. You have everything that you need. And what you need to start to do is to say this: I don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. As I grow in maturity in the Lord, I want to be known for my obedience, that if the God says it, he doesn't have to say it to me four times. I just obey. Obey with passion. Obey with excitement. That when he corrects me, he's correcting me for my own good. The good shepherd provides direction. The good shepherd provides correction. But thirdly, the good shepherd provides protection. This is so good. I love, as David continues in Psalm 23, I love cross-referencing John 10 in Psalm 23. Look at what David says. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's a big line right there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You ever see those like videos or those photos of those guys in India that are snake charmers and the cobra's up and it's like, wow. And they're like, they're playing the music and the cobra's like dancing. You're like, wow, how do they do that? I used to find that so like cool. Until I found out that the way they're able to do that is that the cobra's mouth has been super glued shut. And now they can do whatever they want. The cobra just looks scary, but the cobra can't do anything. They're right face to face with their enemy, and they can do whatever they want because the cobra has been taken back from all of his power. And friends, that's what the gospel does. The enemy can flare up. The enemy can look like a cobra, but his mouth has been super glued shut. And like David, God has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, in the house of God, there is protection. God's house is one of protection, that you know who your Savior is. David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In one hand, he had the staff, which was for correcting the sheep, but in the other hand, he carried a rod, and the rod was to protect the sheep from a wolf, from the thief, from the robber. Whoever came his way, the shepherd was prepared to protect the sheep. I love Jesus goes even further. Jesus says, hey, I'm not a hired hand. I own these sheep. And I'm willing to lay my life down for these sheep. In fact, I'm going to give my life for these sheep. No one can take my life. I gladly give it up. And I'm so powerful and so good that I'm going to claim my life back again. What was he doing? He was foreshadowing the gospel. Listen to this. This is good. The old covenant was that the sheep had to die for the shepherd, right? Blood sacrifices make us right with God. Lambs, sheep, sacrifice so the shepherd, people, humanity could be made right. Under the new covenant, the shepherd dies for the sheep. The perfect, good, awesome shepherd lays his life down to say, I'm going to protect you from the curse of sin, death, and hell. I will stand in the gap and my blood will make you clean. Ooh. Some of you just need to know that you have a shepherd. You just need to know that when the enemy comes and speaks up, when the thief shows up on your doorstep, you just got to go, hey, I got a good shepherd. He will protect me. I remember when I moved back down here, moved to Miami from Tacoma, and I was new in high school, and I was in this class. I can't remember what the class was, but it was one of those classes that you were mixed with, like, upperclassmen. I was in the 10th grade, and there was this guy in my class, and he was, I wouldn't call him a bully, because I won't give him that credit, but he was just always talking and, you know, saying stuff and making me feel less than, and I couldn't do much because he was bigger than me, and so I would try to, you know, do some stuff here and there, but he just never worked very well. And my first week of school, I met this guy named Nate, and Nate was in my class, but Nate was big. Nate was this big, huge dude, and we became friends really quick. And I remember it was maybe a month or two into school, and we were out playing pickup basketball one day, and Nate was there, and the guy from my class who was always messing me was there. And somehow the two of them got into this big scuffle, and long story short, Nate put like a hurting on this guy, okay? I mean, really like put a hurting on him. It was funny because a couple weeks later, I'm in class and this kid, he starts piping up again. He starts making these comments and making these statements. It was funny because now I had a weapon. I said, hey, bro, in front of the whole class. I said, you want me to call Nate again? How many know he got quiet real quick? It's the same thing for you. That when the enemy starts speaking up in your life, you just say, you want me to call the good shepherd? He's coming out with a rod, and he's coming to protect his sheep. He's already laid his life down for the sheep. He'll show up. And Frank, can I just be honest with you? Some of you are like, God's never done that for me. I'm calling on the good shepherd. He's not showing up, Rich. I think when we get to heaven, this is now just my own thoughts. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find out just how many times the good shepherd stepped in the gap for us. I think there's going to be an angel that you can walk up to and say, hey, pull up the sheet. I want to see all those moments. And you're going to go back to the 9th grade. You're like, dang, he did spare me right there. You're going to go to the 12th. You're like, dang, I knew there was something to that. And you're going to see lesson after lesson where the enemy, the thief, came in to hurt you, but God stepped in and protected you. This past week, maybe some of you saw it, but this little boy went to the Braves game with his dad. It was his birthday. Look at this picture. It was this little boy's birthday. And his dad took him to the game. And they're having the best time. Atlanta Braves versus the Pirates. The little boy said, Dad, I want to send a photo to Mom so I can show her how much fun we're having. So he took the phone and he started to get on the phone. And as he was on the phone, a batter got into the box. And as he swung the bat flew out of his hands. The kid's head was down, but there was a father who stretched out his hand and blocked the bat from hitting the son. And I saw this picture, I thought to myself, that's me. How about this? That's VU Church. How many of you know there's been some bats swung at this church? But every bat that was swung at this church, there was always the hand of God that got in the way and said, no, 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 no. This house is protected. This is my sheep, and I am the good shepherd. Oh, come on, somebody. You ought to praise God like you know he stood in the gap, like you know he's protected you. Come on, VU Church. Give God a shout of praise. Come on.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.